Bible is always right, but sometimes we're just not able to understand it because it was written in Koine Greek and other languages. So I just decided tonight I'd just take my time and go through here and talk about it a little. Perilous days are now visible on the earth God created. I've got an advantage over some of you because I'm old. I've seen good times. After the Depression, I saw really great times from the time World War II ended up until now. But I have watched the population change drastically to just like it was before the big crash in 29. I got the after effects of it. I know what it was like going through it. I know how hard it was on my parents. And I listened to what they said. And I understood what it was like. And people just went wild. And they had morals they didn't care about. They wanted booze. They wanted to get drunk. They wanted sex. They wanted everything that the Bible talks about. Fornication. Adultery. And it was widespread. I was very fortunate that my people came from the hills, and they had clung on to a true belief that that kind of stuff was wrong, and if you did it, God was going to punish you for it. Well, I'm glad I'm an old man now. I wondered if it would ever happen, but I don't have all that stuff now. Oh, it's in there. I mean, the lust is in the flesh. And I have temptations every day when I pass the television, but I'm trying to keep up with the news. But I just very quickly ask God, Lord, help me. Lord, get this out of my mind. And I just sit down. And yeah, I'm all right. But I'm telling you that this carnal nature that we have is a deadly thing. And people say we're born totally depraved. We're born with the ability to be totally depraved. And the longer we live, if we don't get saved, and then afterward, if we don't start paying attention to what the Lord wants us to do while He's trying to convert us, you can get more and more and more and more depraved. Little old baby laying in there, he ain't got no sense to be depraved. But he's got the character for it. It's there, and it's not going to go away. And so as he grows older, if he gets saved, then God starts working on him. And so a lot of parents get over-anxious, but I don't blame them at all. They want to get that child saved. And you say, well, that's just your opinion. I know. And I said, it's fine. But they always left me alone. And I didn't find out until after I was saved that Papa Mac and Thiel and Mom, and they said, you know, God will pick His time. And they drug me to church. And so God waited a long time. And I had to sit there and listen to all that. But finally, it worked. And I think that a preacher, as he grows up, he learns a lot of things about himself and why his parents did something for him. So I want to talk about this a little while and some of the things that I didn't know before I started this. Perilous days are now visible on the earth God created, and only God can protect us by His rule over the serpent. As far as I'm concerned, it's just like it was before the 29 Depression. It's just like it was before the Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just like it was before the flood. And God said that man was corrupt. And I learned from Leonard that God did the destroying between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I guess they punished Satan for actually doing what he did, whatever it was. So there's a pattern that God follows, and God's consistent. We aren't, but He is. And so I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. and show you the advantage that Tom's brought by God's leadership and showed to us. I'm not going to start preaching all my messages in Greek and all that kind of stuff. But I will look all these words up, and I'll give you some better sermons than I have in the past. Or the Lord will. Perilous days are now visible on earth. On the earth God created, and only God can protect us by his rule over the serpent. God's in control. Yeah, the serpent fooled Eve, and Adam knew what he was doing. But God's in control. Now, you know, if someone had asked me, after I'd been here about 10 years, is God in control? Well, I said, yes, he is. But there's one thing to say it, and there's another thing to understand it from the book. And now I understand it a whole lot better. And he is in control. Now, blasphemers. That's an interesting word. Now, there's different suffixes and prefixes put on it. And Tom's going to talk about that. Tom came by the house today, and I asked him if he was going to talk about that. He said he was, but he had some things he wanted to do beforehand. And he's going to talk about the accusative and things like that. But he's going real slow, nice and easy, and we're going to get that stuff. And I'm very thankful for that because you'll like it. You learn this diagram just a little bit at a time, and then you start learning how to use it. So pray for Tom. And pray for the church down there and for Tammy and for... you don't have to pray for Charlie and Norma because we're still mad at them. We're going to just forget about that. And it became a serpent. Okay. And Moses and Aaron went in before unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. They did what God said. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. How appropriate. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and his sorcerers, the sorcerers. Now, Satan has limited power. His power is limited. But he can do some things. Well, God can do things he can't even start to do. But he does have limited power that God gave him. And now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. Well, I went all the way through. I looked in every reference source I could find when I first came up here. And this is talking about a living serpents. They're counterfeit. They're not of God's creation, but they're something that wiggled around and moved and looked exactly like snakes. If you want to call them counterfeit, that's fine. But the thing that's important about this verse, about this account, the most important thing I see in it, and there are other things I'm sure that are in there, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, the devil did pretty good. When they had the frogs. And the first thing they ever cloned, you never heard much about it, but I kept up with that kind of stuff because I majored in science. And the first thing they ever cloned wasn't that sheep, Dolly. It wasn't Dolly. They cloned a frog. And a frog is an animal that if you stretch it out on a board, you'd look at the thing and you'd say, I could make one of those. Well, I couldn't. But the devil was able to duplicate the frogs. Now, how did he do it? Well, when you get into things like that, and you start talking about how he did it, and you discuss this, and you discuss that, and everything, you're going to have some disagreements, and that's okay. But you stick to the facts. He did it. And so he did everything right on up. He turned the water blood red, and all the serpentilian types, they had blood. It was cold blood, very cold blood. Now, they still argue about that, but for a long time, they didn't argue about much of anything, but all of them are trying to make a name for themselves now, and they argue with each other like a bunch of kids. But anyway, so what happened? Well, They got to a little sand louse. Now, I didn't live back then, and so I don't really know what a sand louse looks like. But when I was stationed in the Sahara Desert, we had little lice over there. They were very tiny, and they were brown, and they looked like what I have always considered to be a bed bug, except they were brown. And these little sand lice, I never took one and examined it and smashed it, but I know when I would take one and crush it between my fingers, ooey gooey was a worm. And it had all kind of stuff inside of it. It had blood, a kind of a yellowish blood. It had it had organs in there. I felt with my thumb, you know, and I thought, well, I'm going to see what this thing's made of. Well, Satan couldn't make one. But because Satan had never learned how to make something that was complicated and warm-blooded. Now, he never could make a warm-blooded thing until now. Now, I don't know, Anna Mae was here, and I hope you remember this, but you may not. I told people a long time ago, I said, long before Dolly ever came along, I said, when you see them actually create counterfeit, whatever, a large animal, I said, you can know that the time of the coming of the Lord is not a far distant event. I always felt it would be that. And so they managed to do that dolly. And since then, they've made a lot more dollies. And I think they've done it to some goats. They're not supposed to. But Satan, I was told in seminary, was the master counterfeiter. Well, I can tell you now by experience that they're right. But the Bible indicates that Satan was able to do it right up until the sandlouse. So, what does that tell me? It tells me that God can protect us by his rule over the serpent, and that God's power is absolute and Satan's is very limited, or even if this was a magical counterfeit, whatever caused it, I know that it's something that it was used to distract, and it is still used to distract. Now, I'm going to talk about some words. Incontentant. But let's do blasphemers first. When I think of blasphemy, I think of what Catholics believe in many cases. I think of blasphemous teaching by the Pharisees. I speak of blasphemous physical adultery. I think of all those things. I just figured it was all one big general word. But I thought, I'm going to look that thing up. So I looked it up. And it means abusive, reviling, destroying one's good name. Bullinger. Well, That's interesting, isn't it? You know, I can do that. And if I go back in time in my life, and I'm not going to tell you how far back, I've done that. So I owe it to God for bringing Tommy up here, because it made me look at this word. And that's what it means. And so you can look it up for yourself, run it through all the different places it appears, and you'll find that there's more than one kind of blasphemy. And so I didn't know that, but I know it now, and that's a good thing, because in the past I have done that, but no more. And if I start to get the urge, the Word of God tells me don't do that. So every time I start to get the urge, I'm just going to tell the Lord, Lord, help me. I don't want to blaspheme. Because that's what the word, and in that particular case, but that's just one meaning of it. And in Bullinger's, he's got a list of each one about that long. You say, well, much learning doth make thee, weary. Well, I imagine it made All the apostles weary too. And I imagine they had a hard time sometimes trying to figure out what Jesus said. And when they wouldn't explain it to him in parables, sometimes they weren't sure they understood it, even then. Now, in content, this one nailed me pretty good. I did not realize when I was a boy that I got riled up sometimes. And I never met anybody I couldn't whip. But I had a couple of them that kept getting up. And I was sure glad when they broke up the fight. Because I thought that booger ain't going to keep getting up. And so, incontent means without power or command of oneself or one's passion. That is the hardest thing I've ever had to face. And I just thought it was part of my normal nature. I never thought about it a lot, but I've done that. I don't want to do that anymore. So when you talk about being converted, after you start, if God starts on you, guess who has to change? You do. Guess who makes the choice? I do. You do. And I'm guilty. And so what am I, Tommy and I talked some this afternoon about it. So what does that do for me? I'm set free. I'm set free. I'm not going to hell. I will never be under the condemnation of God for doing that, even if I do it again. But how did that affect me, and how does it affect me? I'm so ashamed I did. But I'm set free now. And now I know if I don't do it, I've done exactly what God wanted. And you know, it takes a lot of time to do that. And the reason I'm glad you all are here, because you're that kind of people. You're like that. I'm not saying others in the church aren't. I'm not saying that. But you are. And I hope I am. Because most people think about going out knocking on doors. Better than I knew a preacher that used to do that. And today in our work, there's a massive effort to just come up with some new program, come up with some new way, come up with do something, do this, do this, do this, do that. That's why I quit going to association meetings. I just got tired of it. And what caused me to do that? I finally figured out that you got to put the Great Commission one verse back. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and only God can protect us by his rule over the serpent. Well, what does it say right after that? Next verse, chapter in Matthew, verse 18, 19, 20. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, that's a conclusion. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what these classes are about. You say, well, how do I do that? Do I get on fire for Jesus? That would be like taking a man that had just finished tech school up in one of our service schools, and he went to the flight line for the first time, and he had been trained to do work on T-33s. And the old man that's sitting in there, he's, by this time he was old and fat and just didn't want to do anything. And he'd say, hey, boy, get out there and get to work on that T-33. Listen, there's lots of stuff when you get out of tech school that you got to learn for yourself. And so I think that's part of the Great Commission. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, the age. Amen. So I'm not saying just keep your mouth shut out there. But get to where people like you and people know you. And it made it a lot easier for me. And now sometimes when I'm going down to the nursing home or somewhere, I'll see somebody out in the hall and I'll stop and talk to them. And we'll develop our acquaintance, and I ask them where they go to church, and they say, well, I haven't been in a long time. I said, well, hey, we'd like to have you down there. And I don't try to convert them out in the hallway. I know some teachers used to do that. Well, in any case, unbridled, that's also from Bullinger. Incontentment, without power or command of oneself or one's passion, unbridled. It's like taking a colt, and he hadn't been running very long, and just got there and take the bridle off of him and said, hey, hit it, boy. Man alive. Listen, don't do that. And the truth is that it takes time. It takes time to know yourself, and it has to be done. When God called me, he had to do what he did, and he did it because he loved me. And so all the valleys that I went through, all the valleys, it was God that put me in them. Oh, I did it myself, but God let me go into it. And then God pulled me out of it. And I started getting rid of, well, I want to stay on the mountain all the time. And I wanted to. I wanted to feel like that all the time when I was at right with God and the world and everything was shiny and all the kids were doing fine and church was doing good. Oh, I loved it. But I learned more in the valleys. And the song about learning more in the valley, you do. And sometimes it's painful. And you hurt other people. And other people hurt you. And you just have to learn to stand. God is letting this happen. I'm not saying God did it. I don't know. But I know that I'm in there. And I know that how to get out. And I just tell God, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And went back, and I usually tell the church about it. I had one person tell me one time a long time ago. He said, Brother Michael Murray, he came here and he said, you're the only preacher I ever heard that confesses his sins. And I said, Lordy mercy. I said, God won't let me alone. And God won't let you alone until you do. So you notice I'm doing pretty good. Oh, forgive me, Lord. I'm doing pretty good right now. And stand by for a ram. Because every time I think I'm doing pretty good, it doesn't work out. But God has been really gracious to me. Now, what is unbridled? Well, you just run wild. You can't control your passions. You get irritated. You get mad. You take it out on other people. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That's the desire to do right. And I've had that ever since I got saved. I wanted to do right. And I didn't really know. I thought I knew what right was. But I didn't really know what virtue was until I... Until I had knowledge, and I got that from the Bible. The Bible had to teach me what virtue is. I'm not going to take time. Look it up for yourself. And to knowledge, temperance. You know what that is? That's gaining command of oneself or one's passion. That's putting God's yoke on. Isn't that a bridle? That's putting God's bridle on and learning who's in charge and who pulls and who teaches. And out of that, there came hypomene, patience. What do you mean, patience? Lordy mercy. I didn't think I was ever going to make it. I didn't think I was ever going to get to the point where I had any endurance. I wanted to quit. I wanted to give it up. Go back to Air Weather Service. Go back to the National Security Agency. I wanted to give it up. You say, well, why didn't you? God, I can't take credit for it. God did it. So here I am. It's nice to know that there's somebody up there looking out for you. And it's good to know the one that's out that's doing it. And the more I got to know about him, the more I loved him. Who in the world would put up with me? Who in the world would do that? And after I got to realize, he really does love me, it came a whole lot easier. I'm still carnal. I'm still understanding. I'm learning how to worship God. That's godliness. Philippians 2:13 through 15. For how many times have I used this? Listen, I use it for a reason. Lots of other scriptures in the Bible I can preach. But this is the reason I do it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Every one of us, certainly myself included, should make a concerted effort and ask God, Lord, help me to do all things without murmuring and disputing. Help me, Lord. And when you get so irritated you just can't stand it, have a little endurance. Because maybe there's something else God wants you to learn. And maybe there's something else God wants the other person to learn. And you can have endurance. You say, well, what does that do good to the world? How many people out there do that? How many people in our churches do that? Don't you think it shows? Don't you like to be around people like that? He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self. Don't tell me you never loved your own self, and don't tell me you're not a lover of yourself now. Covetous, always wanting a little more. Just a little more. Boasters, man, that was a good one. Proud, I went through the seminary. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Well, Mom never really knew it. But I was. And any time Mom wanted me to do something, all she had to do was cry. I can't stand to see a woman cry. Don't ask me why. But I can't stand to see my own daughters cry. I can't stand to see anybody cry. And she used it. You'd say, where'd she get it? She must have got it from God because it worked. Unthankful. Well, I tell you, I know I can be more thankful, but I didn't realize everything God was doing for me. I really didn't. And when I went to Vietnam, I understood what he was doing for me. And I thanked him every night. And I thanked him sometimes out in the field. I found out what a coward I was. Unholy. Non-holy. God set me apart. I didn't know that until I was 38 years old. And I wasn't all that sure of it then. But when I came up here and I saw this group, I thought, oh, good Lord, they're liable to call me. And for some reason, and Imogen was scared they'd call me too because we had 7 kids to support. But I could not get it out of my heart. And I came. And I didn't do you any big favors. God did me a big favor because you've taught me a lot. I hope I've taught you a lot. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, the interpreters, all of them I read out of, say that those are the Egyptian magicians, and I have no reason to doubt it. I can't take an oath on it. But since they withstood Moses, they try to withstand him, and they duplicated the first few miracles, so do these also resist the truth. Listen, we've had a lot of people that have come to this church that were heretics. I've told you about some of them, but others I've told, if you come down the aisle, I'm going to tell them about you. And I said, you should have told me that you've been in prison, and you should have told me what you'd been in prison for. And he didn't tell me. And he said, well, I won't cause any trouble in this church. I said, you're coming to this church because you want somebody to come out. You want some of us to come out to your school. And you want to use our name so you can get other people in the community to come. And I was afraid we might have a fight there in my front room when I told him that we were sitting down. But apparently somebody else may have told him and he left. Now, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, taste piston. And listen, I'm gonna just say this, and I'm not saying it has to be true. But once a person leaves the faith, I don't think anybody here that's left has ever left the faith. I don't believe that. I don't know of anybody that has. So don't get the idea I'm saying somebody that was a member of this church left the faith. I tried to make sure nobody ever joined this church that had left the faith, and the reason they were coming back here was to use the church just like they had used the church, and they got sentenced to jail in a state penitentiary up in Kansas for it. So I don't believe anybody in this church has ever done it, and I think that's the kind of thing that they're talking about. And when you do that sort of thing, I don't think you ever can be accepted by another church if you tell them the truth. And afterwards, if I'd have found out that fellow hadn't told me the truth, I'd have asked church to exclude him. And I'd have asked for a motion. If they had made one, I'd probably make one myself and vote him out by one vote. No, that's not true. He says, but thou hast... Now he goes on down, he says, men of corrupt minds, rebate concerning the faith, but they that proceeded no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, and theirs was also. But, and I'm going to tell you that I believe Kenneth and Leonard and Chuck Trusty and the deacon here, every one of us would treat it the same way. We don't want somebody in this church that is a pervert or that teaches a false doctrine, and they don't belong in this church. And I think I can speak for them in saying, I'm not a hero. I just did what God said. And every one of us feel that way, I believe. I've never asked them. But I know them. And part of our job, I believe, is to protect this church from heretics. Long-suffering, patience. Look down here. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men, as theirs was also. Well, these magicians got exposed when they couldn't make a sand flea. And they sure couldn't have made anything after that. I'm telling you, God, look, people worry, they say, is it okay to get, cremated? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Because if God made you out of dust, you don't have to worry about him having a body for you waiting. And if they're scattered off the top of Mount Nebo, he can pull them all back. So just believe what God says. He's going to give you a resurrected body. Now, am I going to get cremated? No way, Jose. You think I'm going to rob the women of the great joy of coming by my casket? You can forget that. He says, as theirs was also. But, now notice, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Now notice he talks about heretics. He's been talking about people that are disobedient. He's been talking about the last days. Why do you think they're all leaving the churches? Did they ever believe in the first place? Some of them did. And some of them didn't. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, will you tell us a foolproof way of telling which one is and which one isn't? I don't know one. You say, well, why don't you study that out? And it would take me years and I might never find the answer. So you figure it out. I just know what God says here that I'm supposed to do. And so what those people that are heretics do, I pray for them. I really do. But truth of the matter is, I'm going to concentrate on my own need to convert and change. Let's see what Paul says. He's going to give us a contrast here. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium. That's where they stoned him outside, and he apparently went up to heaven. He didn't know whether it was in his body or in his flesh. at Iconium, at seditions. Oh, wait a minute. I don't even know what that said. What? Okay. Afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch. I'll have to look that up when I get. Seditions is what I think it is. Oh, well. At Iconium and at Lystra, whose persecutions I endure. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. And only God can protect us by his rule over the serpent. And he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And he's alive. And he's God. And so, don't worry about the tribulation period. Don't sit around and say, oh, I sure hope it occurs. Baloney. Better hope they cut your head off. That'd be wonderful. You say, well, I bet you'd scream like a fish out of water. I would. But they'd cut it off anyway. So I got no choice. I might as well make a choice. And God say, well, you did pretty good making that choice. But if I don't make a choice, I don't know what's going to happen. Because I'm a natural born coward. I can't. Lord, I so. Oh, never mind. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that. Now, this is something here. You don't want to have any problems, any troubles, or anything. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul taught them. What else did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Jesus. Is that plain? That's what you're supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. But all God wants us to do is try. Try, try, try. Endure. Keep on trying. Don't quit. 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Oh boy, did I know them. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. When did I understand salvation? When did I understand it? All I knew was Jesus was the Lamb of God. And Jesus was the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit was convicting me for 4 years. So how much did I know about salvation? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And finally, one night I gave up and I found rest. I just was so happy. I was so happy. How much did I know about salvation? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Through faith. How did I get saved? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. For it is a gift of God. Okay, when did I learn about it? Why am I up here telling you all about salvation right now? Think it out. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It was through faith, which was in Christ Jesus. That's how I got saved. You say, well, you should have known that. All I knew was I did what he said. And I believed. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And then on down there he says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And believe it or not, after 4 years of agony, I believed him. And I asked him. And he saved. And I've been saved ever since, and I'll be saved forever. But when did I learn what happened? Afterwards. When did I learn all this stuff about baptism, the church, the Lord's Supper, and all this stuff? I had just sat back there through every sermon that was preached. If he preached on bunny rabbits, I would be convicted. And it was the Holy Spirit that was convicting me. Because I was there among God's people. And it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing what God tells us in here, but we don't take time to study. Do you know why a lot of people don't know what I just told you? Because they get the sermon in the morning, they go home, that's all they want. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, by instruction in righteousness. How did I learn what righteousness is? Well, I learned after I got saved. I wasn't sitting back there and say, oh boy, I'm going to just run up there and he'll impute me his righteousness. I didn't even understand this. Thank God he didn't make salvation complicated. But afterwards, when did I understand it? When I sat in there and listened and I didn't want to go to hell, and I thought, man, I got to find out whether I can go to hell or not. And there it was. That the man of God may be perfect, teleos, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I can't do good works unless he's in me. I didn't know that. I thought when I, at Christmas time, when I went down and spent all my money and bought little toys for everybody in the family that they rat and raved over, and they were just glad I'd mow lawns and do everything else to give them the gifts, because I thought that was good. But I didn't even have the Spirit of God living in me. And the truth is, after I got saved, I still didn't understand that the only reason I could do anything good was God in me. And you know what I did? I learned that after I was saved. Don't tell me that some of these things I'm telling you about, you didn't really understand till after you got saved. Don't tell me that you understood all this at once. He says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. I charge thee therefore before God. And now I put even in there, because I was talking to Tom this afternoon, and I had already made this message up, and he came by to see me, because he went over to the association meeting, which is over at Victory. And this thing here, this word "and," we were talking about it, and it's amazing how many times that this word means "and," but it's also shocking how many times it means "even." And when you get into these scriptures about Jesus, about this says, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes you kind of think maybe there's two of them. But that word "kai" also means even. Now, if you look in Young's Analytical Concordance over in the back, if you look under there about "kai," and just look under there and see the different ways it's translated. And when you come across it like this, go ahead and just say "even the Lord Christ Jesus," Jesus Christ. You haven't broken any rules. And so I look, "Kai," it's there. So all the things that we've been teaching for a long time here, is that Jesus is God. And it finally sinks into you. And I remember the first time it sunk into me, I said, well, I'll be. God is my Savior. And the Holy Spirit is my Savior. And Jesus is the one who fulfilled the office of the Savior. And it just makes me feel so good inside. I say, can I think about this for a little while longer? He says, for the time will come. Well, he goes on, he says, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? There's going to be a resurrection. And it's not going to be very pleasant for some church members and others before the throne of Christ, because they're going to discover they should have gotten baptized properly. And I don't hedge on this. They're going to be sorry that they didn't get baptized properly, that they fought against it. They will, I promise. And they're going to be sorry they didn't take the ordinances like he told them. And all I can do is warn them. I love them, I care for them, but that's all I can do. And so when you start worshiping God, Jesus saves. Now, when you start worshiping Him correctly, Jesus converts the soul He saves and the life that that soul lives in the flesh. And I can prove that to you conclusively from the Bible. And I tell you what, I want to be converted. I am being converted. Every time I think, well, you're doing pretty good now, Tom. I'm doing worse than I thought. You say, well, that's a terrible way to live. It's a wonderful way to live. You get to know yourself, you get to know the Lord, and you get to know your friends, and you get to know who's true and who isn't. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? Preach the word. That's it. Preach the word. Not fairy tales. Do you know we've got heresy in our churches? Missionary Baptist churches. We've got heresy in some of them. And what are we going to do? We're going to preach the truth here. And we've got classes here now, and if they want to know what the truth is, they're more than welcome to come. And we're more than welcome to discuss it with them. He says, but the time, preach the word. Be instant in season. Any time of the season, any time of, you know, you're put in a situation where you're given an advantage. You don't have to run up and knock on every door in town and say, I'm going to get in there and win them to the Lord. And that's nothing but pure old human pride. I know. I went around with a guy and did that. Didn't know any better. Out of season. When you don't feel like it. When you come home and you're tired and somebody comes to the door and says, you know, Brother McMurray, you got some time? Talk to me. Come on in here. And I talk to him till I almost go to sleep. I wish I had toothpicks to keep my eyes open. Preach the word. Be instant in season. You don't know how many truck drivers come by here and come out and sit on the porch with me. And they're having a problem with their wife, or they've committed fornication on their wife, or something like that. And I just sit out there and talk to them. And after it's all over, you know, I tell them about the Lord and everything else, and then they say, well, I feel better now. And they leave, and I say, well, you don't get back in church? Yeah. Well, whatever. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. If you turn one of our doctrinal issues, one of God's express doctrinal issues, into a lie, that is heresy. In the past, God has furnished mankind for immortality, and He is about to do it again during the next administration. I really believe this. Now, up to now, I'll stick with everything I've said. I believe this, and we're going to find out whether it's true or not, but it's the best I can do. And if God wanted me to know the exact time, I guarantee you He would have revealed it to me somewhere in the Scripture, and I don't think it's in there, because I don't think He wanted us to get out on the housetop and wait for Him. And he didn't mean for us to know the time so we could get complacent. So I'm perfectly satisfied if God just lets us know when it's nigh. Amen. Seals 2 through 5 are open and an intensifying part of this beginning of sorrows. They're all open. We're in the beginning of sorrows. They're getting worse. I listened to television today, and in between the thing they were saying on television, Lord have mercy, the stuff that they were putting out there, I don't believe. It's just like reading the Bible. The elements of these phenomena shall explode into tribulation period, as Revelation seal 6:2, Revelation 6 in 6:2. Well, I wonder what that was. The verses from 6:12 to 17 are a preview to all the events of the entire tribulation period. Tommy and I talked about that this afternoon, and Tommy believes what I do about it. And this is something, you know, truth is truth. And so if you present it and people don't like it, then hope that they'll study it, and hope that if they do study it and find out you're wrong, they'll tell you. And then you put this up here in operation, where it talks about abusive, reviling, destroying one's good name. And you put in this incontent without, you put all that stuff in there, and you just try to control your temper and just say, okay, and then study it out, and if they're right, just admit they're right and go on. Lord, that's so obvious to me but why wasn't it obvious when I was growing up? I tell you why it's obvious to me, because the Word of God has shown me that that's true. And I beheld when He'd opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That is a preview of all the tribulation period. It even closed with, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be stated? Tommy, you were meant to marry my daughter. Amen. And I was meant to have you as a son-in-law. And all the children that God gave us are still in church, some of them more than others. And I give God the credit for that. But the truth is, he worked through your mother more than he did through me. And he used your mother to make me see myself sometimes. And that's what a wife is supposed to do. And a good preacher's wife will do that. Because men are more unbridled than women. And if your wife doesn't tell you because she loves you, I told Imogene when she finally started telling me the truth that I thanked her for it. And I learned a lot from Imogene. She kept telling me, she kept saying, "Honey, I just don't know anything about the Bible." I don't know how many times she told me that. And I always felt bad about it. And I'd make her those great big blow-ups so she could look at it and study it. She would ask me questions. But all of her life after our marriage, she always felt like, "I wish I knew what you knew about the Bible." So I'm going to tell you something. When I sit on the back porch and shell those peas, Theo would look over at me, and she finished the fourth grade. But she sat in there and studied that Bible every night. What she didn't understand, she'd ask Papa Mac. And what he didn't understand, he'd ask the preacher. And she'd say, "Tom Mac, ain't Jesus wonderful?" Do you know that stuck with me all my life? Stuck with me in Vietnam. It stuck with me here. And I'm very thankful for it. But all of them would have told you, it's not me, it's the Lord. And I think that's the hardest thing that we have to learn in life. But I'm so thankful that God did it for us, and he did it for our children. He's done it for me, and he's done it for the folks in this church. I'm just now starting to realize how much God loves me. Kenneth, you want to dismiss